Good morning. It is 7:46. You're on the Mighty 690. Time for an update here with State Representative Dr. Ron Bryce, who joins us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James. Good to be here.
Hey, good to have you. So we do invite any calls if folks do have questions for you at 620-251-6909, or also go ahead and comment here on our Facebook Live. But made it through the fair and rodeo. Did you get to check things out over there?
Oh, man, it was hot. Yes, it was hot. It's ever since I was a kid in Coffeyville, fair and rodeo season has been kind of a highlight of the year, but it also means school starting and football season and cool weather's around the corner. One thing, I wanted to do a shout out to my daughter, Blair. She's the new head coach of the volleyball team at the college, Coffeyville Community College. They have their first game today against the national champions. And so I wish them good luck, and they're down in Texas for that game. So shout out to Blair and the Coffeyville Community College volleyball team.
Fantastic. Well, you know, we've got a lot of stuff happening with, you know, football not too far away. Like you said, the kids back in school, and those midterm elections are on the way as well.
Well, that's also something that's really been on my mind. And actually, yesterday, James, I had the opportunity to be in a televised forum with my political opponent for the House District 11 seat. It was in Joplin at the KNS 16 TV station. Beautiful facility. They actually, it's my first time there. They had the tower, the tower fell onto the building about 15 years ago, destroyed the whole thing. And so they built all new facilities. It's great. We talked about things like marijuana. We talked about gambling. We talked about property taxes, all kinds of things. So you might want to check out my Facebook page, or it'll be broadcast next week. KNS 16.
Okay.
KSN 16.
Yeah, you got. Gotcha. So was it? Did they have a lot of different segments with different candidates, or kind of what was the format?
Yeah, it was just the two of us. The two. Candidates for Kansas House Representatives, District 11. That, James, that is my district that I currently serve in. It's most of Montgomery County. It's all of the eastern part of Montgomery County, probably the two-thirds of the whole county. We actually split Independence. I have most of Independence in my district. The very western part of Independence is in another district. But it's Coffeyville, Independence, Deering, Cherryville, Liberty. And Sycamore, little town of Sycamore, is also in the northern part of my district. So it's been my pleasure the last 3.5 years or so to serve the people of Montgomery County. I was just thinking, driving here, the first time I was on your radio show, James, was about almost 4 years ago. I was a candidate for the legislature. And apparently we have been together 200 times on your show, and I can't believe it's been that many times, but time flies, and I just appreciate the opportunity. Every month I come on, my calculations are wrong. It's something like 50 times, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I was thinking every week.
If you're on every week, yeah, maybe, but still it's quite a few times.
But quite a few times, dozens of times, and it's always a pleasure to be here on the radio show, and it brings back memories from the good old days growing up in Coffeyville, this same room we're in now. My father had a daily radio show. I would come sometimes and sit while he was on the radio. So it's kind of reminiscing, but it's a pleasure to serve the residents of Montgomery County. And speaking of the elections coming up, I think what I hear from people is it's difficult to know exactly who's running for what. And I tried looking up this morning just to see who are the candidates for each statewide office, and it was surprisingly difficult. Finally, I found the proper page on the Secretary of State's site. But if I could just list real quickly what to expect November the 3rd, that'll be here before you know it. Actually, early voting starts in October. Governor will be Republican Ty Masterson or Democrat Cindy Holscher. Secretary of State, Pat Proctor, Republican, Jennifer Day, Democrat. James, you remember Pat Proctor. He's been here on the show before. Insurance Commissioner Dan Hawkins, Republican. Dinah Sykes, Democrat. Attorney General, the current Attorney General, Chris Kobach, is the Republican, and Chris Mann is the Democrat. Treasurer Stephen Johnson is the Republican, and Juan Luingo is the Democrat. U.S. Congress, of course, you've had Representative U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt here. He's running as the Republican, and Dan Coover, Democrat. And then the big Senate race that's gotten a lot of attention statewide is Dr. Roger Marshall, Republican, and Adam Hamilton, who's very well known in Johnson County, Northeast Kansas. He'll be the Democrat. So we have a big election coming up, and I was thinking about that this morning, and I was thinking about the impact that elections have on us. And James, let me just kind of put a contrarian viewpoint out there, and if anybody wants to call in, that's fine. But my proposition for you is that we focus on national elections too much. We look at who's the president, we watch cable news, we see the people, the talking heads in Washington, D.C., we worry about what's going on in Iran or China. And let me just propose to you that those things, even though they're important in the big picture, they don't impact our everyday lives. Too often we kind of look at the peak of the pyramid and the president and what's going on cable news, but local elections are what really impact people's daily lives.
Well, you just think about the issue here locally, say in Coffeyville, like the data centers. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to five people making a decision on that. So that's a really much, you know, closer to home issue than a lot of what we deal with statewide or nationally.
That's very true. And not only is it more important to our daily lives, but just think about this. You see, or at least I run into people at the grocery store. I sit next to them at church. I'm accountable to the people I represent because I'm a local elected official. Pardon me. But people in Washington, D.C., they have a staff. You try to call them. You reach the staff. There's a lot of insulation between you and your everyday lives and those people. So I just wanted people to... if you would, just get more involved, reach out, connect with the school board members, the city council, city commission members, the county commission, even your state legislator like me. Get to know them. And because think about this, if you go to the board meetings for the school board or, say, the community college board of trustees, they are the ones that determine your taxes. You know, we talk a lot about property taxes and property tax reform. The big, you know, the federal government doesn't have anything to do with your property taxes. The state government, amazingly, has very, very little to do with your property taxes. Where the property taxes are determined is in the local school board meetings, the local city commission meetings. And those are things that you can go to. You can voice your opinion. You can talk with the people that are involved and really hold them accountable. And so I want to just encourage people to get to know your representatives on these boards, these commissions, and if at all possible, you know, think about running for office. When I first started thinking about running for office, it just seemed like a daunting task, and I didn't really know if I had the, you know, the talent or the money or the ability to run. But really, all it is, all running for local office is having good ideas, talking with people about your ideas, getting to know as many people as possible, hearing from them. It really doesn't require an office staff or a TV presence or anything like that. One thing that's kind of funny to me, people contact me about their problems with the state government. And that's one of the most gratifying things for me is helping people solve their problems with the Department of Motor Vehicles or Social Security or Medicaid or, say, unemployment. But they think I have some kind of a big staff. And I tell them, you know, my whole office is my cell phone. You call me, you get me. You text me, you get me. I'm available. It's not some secretary or some staff assistant that's going to talk with you. So that's the kind of connection you can have with local elected officials, and I would just encourage everybody to be more involved, and if possible, think about running for office.
Very good. Well, we're speaking with Representative Dr. Ron Bryce, and a few medical topics here. I know you said you had the chance to meet with some different pharmaceutical companies and to discuss the rising costs of medications. Can you give us an update on that?
Right. Just this last week, I had the opportunity, and actually Senator Virgil Peck was also there. We had the opportunity at a Medicaid Oversight Committee meeting in Topeka to work on the Medicaid issues and associated issues. And just so happens that there was a dinner that night. I was able to meet with the executives for four major pharmaceutical companies in the United States. And it was a roundtable meeting, and we discussed what can be done to help the poor, what can be done to help people who can't afford their medications. The rising cost of medications is just out of sight, James, and we're doing everything we can to reform government programs that really don't work, that really aren't effective, that really sometimes the funds that we use to fund medications for poor people get kind of siphoned off into other projects. And so I was just sitting there amazed that I'm just a guy from Coffeyville, and I'm sitting there with these executives from four major pharmaceutical companies discussing policy that could affect the whole country. And I thought, I'm very thankful for the position I'm in. And I just wanted to one more time reiterate on the show here, James, that I'm very thankful for the people who've placed their trust in me to be in this position. And it's just one of the most gratifying things I've ever been able to do.
Well, we'll see where that goes. And finally, I know that you wanted to discuss a little bit of brain death legislation. What's that about?
Well, that's kind of intriguing. One of the things that we do in the off season, so to speak, in the legislature is we develop legislation that people approach us during the year, and there's a problem, there's a concern they have. Maybe they have an idea for legislation that might be good for the whole state. One thing I was approached on this year that I'll just bring this up since it's a legislative update. One piece of legislation I'm working on is determining brain death. And you might say, well, you know, it's pretty easy to know when somebody's dead. You know, you watch the movies, you know, somebody gets shot or something happens. Somebody runs over, kneels down, feels their wrist or their
pulse.
And they say, oh, they're gone, you know, or, you know. But in real life, it's sometimes it's that easy. But I've had the opportunity as a physician. I worked at a small community. I was the only physician basically in the community for many, many years. And there were a lot of nursing home patients. And it just so happens that a lot of people went to the hospital when they were at death's door. And so almost every day I pronounce someone dead in the hospital. So hundreds and hundreds of people I've pronounced dead. And so I've seen kind of the gamut of it. But what this legislation is sometimes, believe it or not, James, there are people who are in the ICU, maybe they're on life support, and the issue comes down to organ harvesting, because some people who are not officially dead there have been cases where their organs have been harvested before they're officially dead. And that sounds so grotesque, and that sounds so immoral, but there needs to be better guidelines on when the organs can be harvested, because I'm not against organ donation, because organ transplant patients, their lives can be saved, and their lives can be improved by having transplanted organs from people who've deceased. But we need to have guidelines. The American Academy of Neurology has established guidelines for brain death so that who can have their organs harvested. That's not followed. That's not legislated as being required. So I'm working on legislation to try and have definite terms, black and white, when someone can be declared dead and have their organs harvested to help someone else who needs them. So that's just one of the many pieces of legislation I'm working on for the next legislative session.
All right. With that, we're out of time, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you very much.
Representative Dr. Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690.